Blog Talk Radio. Well, good evening, folks. This is Dave Schmidt. I'm your host here again tonight on the Sedona Connection. I want to welcome everybody coming in tonight, and I want to thank you folks so much for just the response that you've had over the last couple of weeks. It's been my absolute pleasure to be kind of helping out, I guess if that's the right word, on this, what's coming up on this currency exchange. When I came back on the air after a four-month break and came back on with the Sedona Connection, I didn't really anticipate that this was the direction that we were going to be going. But you know what? This is such a big issue, such an important topic. It's a monumental event, this whole currency exchange revaluation, global currency reset that is about ready to happen for us. And obviously, it's something of extreme importance to many of you. For a lot of you, you're brand new in this stuff. You don't know what to do. You're kind of like, wow, you're kind of stepping into a whole new arena that you've never been in before. Well, that's what we're here for. That's what I'm here to do, to help you through this. Some of you, when I sent my newsletter out, because you've been on that newsletter list, you heard a little bit about my background. Just to let you know, originally, I had a full, complete four-year college scholarship coming right out of high school for a career in banking and finance. I stayed with that for a little bit, and then I made a shift, and I went back to school, and I actually went through both my undergrad and my graduate work in theology training. I'm a seminary graduate, and I was a former minister. Between schooling and actual time, I used to pastor a church. I was involved in ministry for about 12 years. Went through a change. It was kind of time to just kind of make a move with what I was doing there with my family. We would have had to have moved outside of the Northwest where we lived at that time. We weren't comfortable doing that, so I ended up basically just leaving formal church ministry. A few years later, I was really prompted to get involved in politics, and I ended up spending 12 years in the Washington State Legislature, ending there as a state senator. Well, in Washington State, where I lived at the time, technically the legislature was considered a part-time job. In reality, for most of us, it was a full-time job with part-time pay. So I had to find some other form of something where I could basically subsidize my income. And I had a friend of mine, and this was in the mid-1990s when the NASDAQ market was just exploding and the dot-com movement was taking place. And a friend of mine, I saw him make $250,000 in 1 year, part-time, trading the stock market. And, you know, and I thought, if he can do it, I can do it. And I didn't know the difference between a stock and a rock. But I ended up stepping into it. I took the time. I just immersed myself into educating myself about the market, how it works. And I've been a market trader now off and on for about 17 years. So with my background of legislation and law and banking and finance and understanding the markets, coming from also a very deep spiritual perspective where I'm just absolutely love Jesus and in a loving God perspective, that's what I bring. And so I'm very knowledgeable about a lot of this stuff. And in the last couple of weeks, what happened was when I wrote this article, this Q&A on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, it just took off. It went basically viral on the blog sites that are dealing with what is called the dinar and currency exchange. And that kind of catapulted me into something here where I realized, okay, I'm supposed to do this. This is something I'm supposed to do. It was like it found me more than I found it. And I want you to know, folks, I'm really enjoying stepping into this position of helping. It's what I'm supposed to do. How else do I say that? You just kind of, when you know that you know, that you bring a perspective to this because of the experience that you have, the practical application, and seeing this from what is called a higher spiritual perspective about how we handle money, That's what we're here to talk about. And I'm going to continue bringing this topic on the air each week as long as I see that, folks, that you have questions, you want to be involved, and you want to be listening to what's going on. So if you want to call in on the program tonight, please do. If you have some questions, or you have some comments, or you want to have a discussion, the number to call is 646-716-8069. Again, the number is 646-716-8069. You'll see that number. Okay, folks, now I'm back on the air. I think I got disconnected there for just a little bit. But what I was saying is we do this program every week. All right. Okay, there we are. We're back on the air again now. We've just had a couple of disconnections. And thank you for being tolerant of that. What I'm saying is Blog Talk Radio is not perfect. And sometimes there's some disconnections coming on that. But on the other hand, you can't beat the price. I mean, we don't have the ability to go through a regular different radio station. This is all done through the Internet is how we do this. And so, and sometimes, you know, Internet connections can get disrupted a little bit. And, folks, I'm going to be really honest with you. There have been times I have actually felt, myself and the others, that we were basically being disrupted, that we had some hackers that were calling in because they don't want what we're talking about going out there on the air. So it is what is. What you can do is behind the scenes, be praying, be visualizing, be seeing that we're going to have a very smooth operation here on the radio program tonight. So the whole issue, the currency reset, the global currency reset, the revaluation of the dong and dinar. What I want to do, I want to take a couple minutes here tonight just to open up the program, and I want to give you some history and some background of what happened here. First of all, we go back about 23 years to 1990 when Saddam Hussein invaded Kuwait. At that time, the United Nations put Iraq into what is called a restriction status. They removed their currency off the foreign exchange. Their currency could no longer be traded around the world with other currencies all around the world. They also took them off as a member of the World Trade Organization, where their items, their commodities, predominantly their oil, could not be traded and sold on the open market. Iraq has been in the situation for 23 years. The old currency they used to have had the picture of Saddam Hussein on it. About 10, 12 years ago, somewhere in there, they changed their currency. Now, when you go into the foreign exchange, all currencies have a three-letter designation. The United States, it's USD. United States dollar. Canada, it's CND. Canadian dollar. Australia, it's USD. Australian dollar. For Iraq, it's IQD, the Iraqi dinar. For Vietnam, it's VND, the Vietnamese dong. These are the what are called the nomenclatures, if that's the appropriate term, to use for the designation of their currencies. So about 10, 12 years ago, Iraq actually came out with a new currency, a different. They got rid of the ones that had Saddam's picture on it. When you folks are basically ordering dinar, that's the currency that you're getting. What is the new currency? You're getting the IQD. But when you go onto the foreign exchange websites that has the foreign exchange rates, if you want to exchange one currency to another's currency, you will see that the dinar is at about 1166 or 1162 dinar per dollar. That comes out to about 27 cents. Well, in 1990, before they were put on the United Nations restrictions, one dinar would trade for $3.47 of U.S. money. So you can see that their currency was totally depleted. It had a huge extreme drop. What that means for Iraq is inside the country of Iraq, a dinar is a dinar, just as inside the United States, a dollar is a dollar. But if they want to purchase anything from outside of their country, it's extremely expensive for them. So they've been waiting for the war to get over, which has happened. The United Nations had stated, Iraq, you need to resolve the issues that you had with Kuwait when Saddam Hussein invaded Kuwait in 1990. And when you do that, we will allow your currency to come back onto the foreign exchange and it will be revalued. On June 27th, the United Nations took that vote. Now, being in a restricted status is called Chapter 7 in the United Nations. On June 27th, the United Nations voted to take Iraq out of Chapter 7 and bring them back into Chapter 6. What that means is their oil and their other commodities can now be traded again on the open foreign exchange market. But to do that, the first thing that has to happen is their currency needs to come back onto the foreign exchange market, where it is traded as the same as the other 190-plus currencies all around the world. And a lot of us who have been involved with this, we felt that it was going to happen within a couple of weeks to a month. Well, here we are now, almost 3 months and a week since then, and we're still waiting for that to happen. And if you're reading the Dinar Recaps blog site, the Dinar Guru, the TNT Dinar, and the others, you're seeing that they're saying that those are the folks who are reporting there who've been following this stuff for years. They've got a lot of inside intel information. And those are the folks that are saying that's about ready to happen every day. Now, that is the dinar. Now, what's the other side picture of what is called the global currency reset? Well, the United States, back in 1971, under President 70 or 71, please excuse me if I get that off, but under President Nixon, we took our currency off of the gold standard and we turned it into what is called a fiat currency. As a fiat currency, it is only worth what is called the good faith of the government. The G8 countries are your eight strongest economic countries in the world. All of the G8 countries have what are called fiat currencies, which means they're only as good as the government's ability to back them up. Well, here in the United States, the Federal Reserve has the ability at any time to just, like a printing press, and put it out there on the market as much as they want. And they've been doing that by the trillions of dollars every year for the last couple of years, even maybe going back 5 to 10 years. Okay. The problem with that, normally that creates a hyperinflation. And it hasn't happened. Well, what has happened is behind the scenes, these G8 countries have so hyperinflated their currencies that they don't carry the value that they anymore. And what the Federal Reserve has done has put the United States that technically it's in a situation where it has printed up so much money and that has created a debt for the government that they are theoretically bankrupt. The United States is in a position that basically cannot pay back its debt. There's no way it's going to be able to generate enough revenue from the taxes of the citizens to do that. And it's not just the United States. It's also the other members of the other G8 countries. They are all in this position. So what happened, there was a coalition of about 160 other countries saw this developing. And they basically went to the G8 countries and said, you guys have so screwed up the global economy that we are about ready to go through a total, complete global collapse of all the monies, all the currencies, all around the world. Now, some of you have been hearing or watching the YouTube videos of a lady by the name of Karen Hudes. If you want to do those, go onto YouTube.com, type in Karen Hudes, H-U-D-E-S. There's about 3 or 4 videos out there now that talk about that. They interview her talking about this situation. For 20 years, Karen was the legal counsel to the World Bank. The World Bank is basically the collective bank of over 190 countries. There's over 190 countries that are members of the World Bank. Her job as the legal counsel was to tell the leaders of each of these countries, you guys are out of line legally with what you're doing. You're basically breaking the law. You are not following the rule of law within the conduct of the money within your country. They fired her for telling the truth. And she has turned into a whistleblower. And she basically is saying that all of these countries, of how they're operating with their money, it is so corrupt, so out of control, that we are heading for a basically global currency collapse, which means all the monies will collapse because they're all bankrupt and they can't back them up anymore. So we're heading down this trail. The train is going in that way. How do you stop that? You basically go through a complete revaluation of all of the currencies in the world. That is what is called this global currency reset. One of those two things has to happen. We either need to do a global currency reset or we're going to see a complete total collapse. And what is happening is every time that the Federal Reserve prints up more money, it just kicks that can down the road a little bit longer until it's going to collapse, but it also means the collapse is going to be greater than what it was before. Karen's calling the countries on it. And so these other 160 countries formed this coalition, went to the G8 countries, and basically said, in this chess match game of the global economics, we're calling check. We're saying it's game over. You guys have so screwed up the global economy. We want a complete global currency reset, and you have so weakened your currencies, we are now in a position of strength collectively to do that, and we're calling it. We're calling your bluff. We're calling your corruption. We're calling your greed. We want this stuff to end. We want to go back to a global currency reset where all the currencies around the world are backed by assets, i.e. gold. But these assets won't be just gold. It will be any valuable, tradable commodity asset. Gold, silver, oil, platinum, wheat, and rice. Those are your valuable, tradable assets that give the country a position of strength and stability to back up its currencies in conjunction with how we trade around the world. Global currency reset, what that is going to do is also going to totally revalue the Vietnamese dong. There are three currencies, actually there's four, but predominantly three, that their currencies are way out of alignment with the rest of the world. The Iraqi dinar, the Vietnamese dong, and the Indonesian rupee. Now, we don't hear much about, I should say rupa is probably the better pronunciation. We don't hear much about the rupa, but we hear a lot about the dinar because it's the one that's been on the forefront. But the dong is involved in this as well. And for those of you folks that you come to this radio program through the Golden Age of Gaia, you know, Steve Ballard has been basically saying, hey, buy dong, buy dong, buy dong. Well, the reason for the dong is because on a per dollar purchase for the potential return, it's going to give you a lot more. That's the reason. But on the other hand, we don't know a lot about the dong. There's not a lot of information out there. There's not a lot of intel. The dong is dependent upon the global currency reset taking place for it to totally revalue. The dinar is a different issue. The dinar can revalue on its own without a global currency reset based on the actions from the United Nations of what took place there. That's the history behind this. Now, I want to talk for a few minutes about what I call the global currency, I should say the esoteric position upon this of what's taking place. In my Q&A, I wrote that from a practical perspective of how you can just kind of take a look at this and how you can understand it and how you can explain it kind of in real-world practical terms, and that was something that you could share with other folks. There's something that's bigger than this, though, and this is my personal perspective on this. And this is from what you call an esoteric position. I think this is a part of us moving into the new golden age. It's a part of what we are moving into as we are basically increasing our consciousness And this is allowing us as a collective human race to move out of what is called an economic slavery, that what we would call the dark folks, the cabal, they have basically have controlled our world economy and kept us into a form of economic slavery. I absolutely believe this is the shift and the change that's taking place. There is a family in China called the Dragon Family. They have a family history that goes back millenniums. They have basically have been through not just centuries, but millenniums, have been quietly collecting trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars worth of gold. Personally, I think they're incarnated angels who have stepped into a time just as this to collect all of this gold for when this we would move into this new golden age and this money would be released for us collectively as a human race to basically move into what is called economic parity, economic equality for all of us all around the world. Now, if you read the Dinar Recaps blog site, Oki talked about the $440 trillion that is coming from the elders. Zap and Poof and Susan talk about the same thing. They are aware of this money. There's been some references from a couple of the primary blog site writers who have talked about the elders in Reno, Nevada. The elders are the old family, Dragon family people that are out of China. That's who they are. And they are the ones that are releasing all of this gold. And what's happening in this global currency reset, this is the first step. To me, this is the first step of the release of all this money. That money is also referred to as the Saint Germain Trust. It's been collected for centuries and millenniums to be released for a time like this. And this is what we are getting to participate in. Most of the people who are participating in this currency exchange are here in the United States, where I am. There are others, yes, all around the world, but the highest percentage of them are here in the United States. Yet, for those of us in the United States, only about 1% of the people are participating in this. So we begin to realize it's a very small percentage of people who are participating in this global currency reset in this revaluation. Now, what does that mean? This is my personal opinion. I think we are the people who have been entrusted to this because most of you realize this is kind of has found you more than you found it. It's not something that you found out through the mainstream media. It was something that probably a friend that you entrust shared this information with you. A lot of you heard about it for the first time through Steve Becko and the angelic channeled messages there on the Golden Age of Gaia. Those of us that are participating in this, we are beginning what I called is a divine opportunity. We are beginning to we are being allowed to participate in a divine change in direction of the history of this planet. And we are being given the opportunity to become overnight millionaires. Only about 1% of us here in the United States, and it's a much, 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 much less percentage when you realize you take the full global population. With that, to me, there is also a divine right responsibility of how we handle becoming overnight millionaires. What are we going to do with this wealth? Are there going to be some people that are going to fall back into the old patterns and the old paradigm, take this money? They're going to be greedy with it. It's all about what can I get. They're going to go out and buy their $10 million homes. They're going to buy their Bentleys. Yeah, there'll be some. But what I think is the vast majority of us are going to realize we have a responsibility. We have a divine directive to be responsible and change the paradigm about how wealthy people handle their wealth. Now, for those of you who have been reading the Golden Age in Gaia and you're seeing the channeled messages coming through there with Archangel Michael, Hour with an Angel program, you'll see what was said. The first thing is pay off your debt. Why? It relieves you of the heaviness of that
burden. Pay off your debt. Take care of yourself first. Put yourself into the position of feeling joy, of feeling happiness, of feeling the freedom to no longer be in that economic slavery, and keep yourself there. If you want to take a vacation, take a vacation. If you want to buy a new home, buy a new home. Be prudent, but don't be afraid to enjoy your abundance. And then the next thing is take some time to educate yourself how to be prudent, how to be a millionaire, how to think like a millionaire, how to handle your money like a millionaire. And that's going to take an education process, and it's going to take some time. And then be willing to become philanthropist. Give your money away. Help those in need. That's the new paradigm that we are moving into. And trust not only what does the Bible say, not only do we know what other holy scriptures say, but it's the concept of give, and it is given unto you. Trust the fact that as you release, as you give, it creates an energy where it comes back to you. It's the law of attraction principles. That's what we're being called to step into. Okay, that's the history. That's the background. That's kind of the bigger picture of everything that is taking place there. There's some topics that I would like to cover somewhat tonight. I'm going to first of all go in and take some calls, and then I'll come back to some of these topics. And the reason for that is I'm finding is that I literally, in the last 2 weeks, I've answered almost 1,100 emails that have come in. It's kept me busy, kept me swamped. I'm loving what I'm doing. I want to say thank you for entrusting me to help you through this process. It's been a joy for me to do this and to participate in this and to be a part of that. So what I'm going to do here first, the very first thing, I'm going to start taking some callers, and then in between some of the callers, I'll be covering some of the topics tonight. I'm going to cover the topics about what is this group rate? What can we expect about participating in a group and a group rate versus the street rate? I want to talk about, remember, a lot of these rates is based on speculation. What is it about being a part of the group and being in the 800 number to get into this group? What is the risk involved in ordering or purchasing dinar and dung, and how do we do that and how we go about that? What about people that are outside of the United States and their ability to participate in this group rate that is predominantly happening inside of the United States? When it comes to after the currency reset, what are the taxes issues? What are we going to have to pay on taxes? What are those rates? And why are there different opinions, even among tax attorneys and CPAs, and what this tax rate will be handled, and what is happening with what some of the blog posters are saying about the taxes, okay? Then this whole issue of the IQD, IQN, the differences of those currency nomenclatures. With the dong, it's the VNN that you're supposed to ask for VNN, when you basically take in your money to exchange it. I'll talk about some of those things as well. But first of all, let's go to the first caller here tonight. And we're stepping in with a lady from Judy from California, from area code 760. Judy, welcome to the program tonight. How are you?
Good, Dave. How are you? Thank you. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you just fine, and we're all hearing you just fine.
Oh, I'm at the sunset at the beach here, but I've been wanting to talk to you. I've been following the Golden Age of Gaia scenario 2012 for about over a year. I love the energy of it. I love the people. I've never seen such unselfish, the way Steve conducts things. And I've known of people who have gotten the dinar. My husband also, by the way, is a futures trader, commodities. And I've had the experience of having large investments pay off, and I've also had investments that were a bit of a con artist. So I kind of am very discerning, looking at the whole picture. When you came into this with your article, I said to myself, and I wanted to tell you, opportunity has met preparedness. And that was what you said then in your next newsletter that I got. in essence, is what you said. But so in reading, the reason I re-picked up looking at the dinar, because I knew of it, is because of the few that Steve Becko has put on that website, like Sheldon Niddle, Poof, and Scott Mowry, especially that Scott. And then when your article came along, it's because of that broad perspective that I'm re-looking at it. But it's hard not to follow the recaps. And I wanted to just bring up, because I know that the people who are looking at the Golden Age of Gaia are very good-hearted people. I just get that feeling. And I have a cautionary discernment about TNT and some of the guru. It doesn't. I don't know what their background. I don't know what the whole thing is. But he has given his last name, which is Tony Renfro. And if you Google it, there are some issues. I'm not saying that that's the whole picture. And I don't know, when you go on the forum, there is you have to donate. And, you know, when you've got 10,000 and 20,000 people following you, it doesn't sound like a lot, but, you know, even a dollar is a lot of money. And there's this currency of done, 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 99.9. And I have been doing some investigations, and some of the people that, and I'm not just singling him out. I'm just saying what's been put out there. And so when I've been, I was on other conference calls this weekend, as I'm getting deeper and deeper into this, as all people are, I'm invested in both things, and, you know, safely so. And they have told me that for many years, Tony would call it every weekend, and then they would be left to pick up the pieces on the following weekend. So I just want to say a cautionary tale, but at the same time, there's so many good things with what your research is and Mountain Goat and many of the others that I just wanted to ask you if you can go behind what they're saying, the intel that's done, 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 and then it is, the proof is in the pudding, and it isn't done, your thoughts on that, and just to put a deeper eye on some of that guru intel.
Sure. Thank you, Judy. What I do, I predominantly follow three blog sites. One is the Dinar Recaps. The reason why I like the Dinar Recaps is it's not controlled by one person. It's a compilation of different blog sites, and then they take their stuff and put it on there. It's very similar to how Golden Age of Gaia works, is that you've got multiple different posters, so you're getting multiple perspectives. You're seeing this issue come from different people from different points of view. And it takes sometimes reading all of them over a period of a month or two so you can kind of decipher, I guess, those that I would give credibility to. Now, I'm only telling you my opinion on this. A lot of people would differ me on this. I think there's five of them that have credibility. Personally, the ones I like the most are Zap and Susan with Poof. I had been following the Poof post for over 2 years, and it was long before this issue of the currency exchange had come up. It was all about exposing the cabal. And they only post once a week, and it's on Sunday nights. They don't get involved in all of this drama, the mental drama of tonight, today, it's going to happen, 99.9. They totally stay away from that. And if you noticed, in Zap's writings, they're taking the long-term view. It's like, I mean, he was saying 4 to 6 weeks out, even at the beginning of September. He was saying, you know, late September, mid to October, before anything's going to happen, and he hasn't budged off of that. The other one that I really like is Mountain Goat, which is a lady out of Germany. She has a background as a private investigator, so she knows how to dig for this information and get it. And a lot of her stuff has been very, very good with her intel information. There's been a couple times she's kind of stepped into some personal advice that I felt, well, she's really in her area of expertise. But her intel stuff is really good. Oki had been around on this for a long time. Jester had been around on this for a long time. They were posting on a regular basis. And when the drama really started heading up to the surface, they kind of backed off. Because I could tell they didn't want to be in this drama stuff of tonight, 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 tonight. The guy who does that the most is TNT Tony. Now, Tony has some really good intel. Personally, I think he's filled with a lot of drama.
take all five of those and I balance them out. That's how I look at this. I give them their credit due for what the work that they're doing, but I don't take it as gospel what they say. Tony is the only one who's really been saying that the rates are going to be way up there at 25. I don't buy into that, but I also understand there is a possibility that for a short 30-day period that Tony is going to be saying that only those of us who are involved with the group rate through that 800 number will get that price. Is that possible? Yes. Is it going to happen? I have absolutely no idea. Pragmatically, I think the rates are going to be what Eagle One had talked about today, on yesterday and today. Now, Eagle One was another one who was posting for a long time, and then for almost like a month and a half, he went silent. And he resurfaced in the last couple of days. And he's a lot more pragmatic on this. And he's saying, folks, the rates are going to be around the 50 to 360 mark. Pragmatically, on what is called the street rates, I kind of agree with that. Because I don't think the Iraqi dinar can be 5 to 8 times higher than the Kuwait dinar, their neighboring country, who has the same equivalent assets on a population basis of what Iraq has. I think Iraq's dinar is going to be close to the rate of Kuwaiti dinar on street rate. And there's a difference between the street rate and the group rate. So, Judy, does that make sense?
Yes, and I also, maybe you know about this with your financial background, somebody on one of the calls was saying that there's, like, the IMF has some kind of regulation of the spread between what a currency can be and what it is in relation to other currencies. Is that correct at all?
I think that's correct. We'll come back to the street rate. And we have to understand the difference between the street rate and the private group rate. But, and folks, I'm speaking to everybody when I talk here. The private group rate is still based on speculation. We don't know that that is. Could it happen? Could I build a case for an argument for it? Yes, I could. I can't guarantee what's going to happen. Here's what I do. In the back of my mind, I'm looking what are called the pragmatic, practical rates for the currencies to be in line with the rest of the currencies around the world. And I think we're the street rate, we're going to see them somewhere between 345 and 360 per dinar. And the dong is going to be somewhere in that 44 to 48 cents is where the dong is going to be. But if you come to my Q&A article, I talk about this whole issue of the oil crisis with China. And there is a possibility that for about a 30-day window, there could be for those of us that are involved in this private group rate. And let's come back again to the percentage of people, the population here. And I'm going to use the United States as an example. I don't have a feel for the numbers outside. In the United States, there's probably somewhere between 3.5 and 4 million people who are going to be involved in this currency exchange. But there's only a couple hundred thousand of those that are on the list to get the private group rate. Now, if we talk in terms of what would be market trading, stock market issues, this can be likened to what is called an initial public offering. When an IPO goes out, those that were involved with the development of the IPO that put up the money to make it happen, they usually get tons of stock at a very favorable rate before it goes public. And they usually get their stock at about twice the value of the public, because they get it before it goes public. It is possible that this private group rate can be very similar, and that those of us that have the opportunity to participate in that may get this higher rate that Tony's talking about. Do we know that for certain? No. We have absolutely no idea of what I would call guaranteed or verifiable information. We're trusting what Tony's bringing forward. We're trusting what the other primary intel bloggers, who are the information they're bringing forward for this to us, but we have no guarantee that that's what's going to happen. That's the difference between the
participating in the group versus the street rate. And folks, while I have you here, also a lot of you have been asking about how do I get involved in that group? And what I've been saying is go to the www.dinarrecaps.com. It's the Dinar Recaps blog site. Sign up to be on their newsletter, and that's what puts you on the list that's going to get this 800 number when it's released to participate in the private group. But please, I want you to understand, it's all speculation at this time. We don't know, but you want to know what? I'd rather be on the list than not on the list. I'd rather say, I want to take advantage of this if it's going to happen. I don't want to go kicking myself in the rear end and say, why didn't I sign up to be on the list? And if it happens, to be able to participate in it. Judy, again, does that make sense?
Yes, and I'm thanking you for your stewardship of this. And my purpose was to support that and to just put a discernment of a cautionary nature to look as deep as you can behind what some of the more gurus that don't pan out are saying. I hope I'm wrong. I hope it happens tonight and he was totally right. But if it doesn't, you know, I Archangel Michael in this last call, I mean, this last message with Monday was amazing. I mean, that put it took it off the that kind of insane, is it here yet, to, you know, that we can press it forward, that we can have the vision that the people that will benefit from this are going to really have the heart to do amazing things, and that it is coming. It's just, you know, we all want it yesterday, and you know, so I guess I'm just saying thank you and the stewardship that we're all going to do, and especially if to look deeper than some of the intel that seems a little scammy, is all I would say.
Yeah. Hey, folks, I just want to do a quick side note. I'm getting some notes here on my Skype window that sometimes the mic goes really bad and it gets kind of scratchy. I'm doing everything I can on my end to try to do the best with that. Part of that is just part of the problems that you're on a radio program that's on the internet and some of the interference that comes there. But what I try to do is that I try to basically, sometimes I need to calm my voice down a little bit instead of kidding. I love talking about this stuff. So it's easy for me. I probably have to put myself down so I don't get maybe too, what's the word I'm looking for? I don't want to use the word boisterous, but too excited. Maybe that's the right term. Well, Judy, anything else that you'd like to share with us tonight? I really appreciate your saying that.
Yes, thank you. And I'll be. Well, it's very exciting. I mean, it's really interesting to be able to combine this level of spiritual growth and awareness with this earthly excitement. You know, I work with attorneys where we've had big case settlements. I know what that feels like. You know, it's almost like a lottery thing. I've had that experience. Oh, probably about four or five times where my husband and I have worked on large legal cases that then come to fruition after years sometimes. And, you know, it's a seven-figure payout for many of the people that worked on it, kind of like Erin Brockovich, where she – and you're kind of going after the bad guys. In our case, it was insurance companies. But so I know what that feeling is, and I also know when it happens, it's an amazing it's just a high, but at the same time, while the planning that goes into it beforehand, while I think it's good in a small degree, there's a part of me that feels like it's chickens before they're hatched, although a lot of the archangels and different things say to bring it into physicality. So I guess by us all living it, and even on the guru sites, we're all bringing it into physicality. So I'm hoping maybe that this government shutdown, the rumor saying that that's going to be the stage that's going to open everything up. What's your thoughts on that? And then I'll let you go to the next caller.
Sure. You know, Judy, I don't know. If the government shutdown is affecting this, it's stuff that's going on behind the scenes that I am not familiar with. On a normal basis, I wouldn't think this government shutdown has that much of an impact on it, because this is a global currency reset that involves over 190 countries, and the United States is only one of those.
Now, are we the major player? Yes, we are. We're the big kahuna on the scene. But on the other hand, you know, the vast majority of us, the government shutdown is just an inconvenience. I don't feel it. It doesn't affect me anything in any way. It might affect me. I want to take a trip out to one of the national parks here in the area that have been shut down. You know, but what it is, it's basically an inconvenience. Now, there are some people it's not an inconvenience. I admit that. Government employees, the people that are dependent on their jobs day in and day out for federal government, you know, services being open. But for the vast majority of the population, it's just an inconvenience. It's not as big as what we make it out to be. So if it is affecting this reset, it's stuff that's going on behind the scenes that I'm not that familiar with. So thank you, Judy. Appreciate your call.
Okay, thanks, Dave. We'll call next
All
week.
Right.
Take care.
Great. Thanks a lot. Okay, good night. Yeah, folks, there's a lot. It'll be interesting to see what's going to happen here. I was in the state legislature 17 years ago when the last time the government was shut down. And, you know, it was interesting because we just went on our normal everyday life. We were in session at the time in the Washington State Legislature when it happened, and we were in a special session, and it was like, so what? So what? You know? Inconveniences. You just had to make some small adjustments, and life went on. I don't want to get into the politics of that tonight. That's not my purpose here, but that's another whole story. But it'll come out when it's time to come out, and you know, the members in Congress and the president will resolve the issue when they feel enough pressure from us, the citizens, that it's time to resolve it. So, yeah. But with that, I'm going to move on to another gentleman who's not even from the United States, Blair, who is calling from Montreal, Quebec, in Canada. Blair, how are you tonight? Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Dave. Doing very good. Thank you. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. Hey, I am really glad that you called, Blair, because I like having people call that are from outside of the United States because, you know, sometimes we get a little, ethnocentric, if that's the appropriate word to use, because sometimes, you know, we in the United States think the whole world evolves around us, and we have to realize there's a whole lot of other people that are out there. And I want to make sure I don't try to portray that message, but we are kind of the center of what happens. But well, I also want you to know I really appreciate your input and your involvement on this, Blair. And I appreciate, you know, you folks from outside of the United States calling in. So what do you got tonight?
Well, thank you very much for having me, Dave. I was on your show last week, which was really good, by the way. And I just want to make a couple of comments. I don't know if Pete from Utah is out there listening, but I just wanted to put a shout-out to him to say thank you for mentioning the TD Bank cross-border service that they offer. And I also wanted to thank Catania out of Sedona for mentioning TNTDiner.com for Canadians. And it's really, really a nice place to get a lot of information for Canadians who are interested or who are involved directly with the RV. Now, there's one particular reason why I was calling tonight, Dave. I wanted to share an experience with the listeners out there, and I thought it was kind of funny and heartwarming. On Friday of this past week, September 27th, I decided to go to my local branch here, and I knew that I'd get one of two reactions. Either A, they would know about the RV, or they did not. So going there with that knowledge already, I sat down with the branch manager and I basically explained, you know, about the RV and what's happening. And unfortunately, at one point, she started fiddling with her fingernails and picking up the file and filing her fingernails, but I kept speaking anyway. And then when I mentioned that, when I finished speaking, she her rhetoric started with, you know, you have to be careful, there's lots of scam and hoax out there, and they just want to get your money. Once I told her that I was actually trading FX for some number of years, her attitude changed. I then, that same day, Friday, September 27th, I went down to the head office of this same bank, and I basically gave the same spiel to another director, and this director at the bank said, well, I haven't heard of the RV, but if this does happen, would you please contact me, and I'll put you in touch with the right people. And then this past Monday, I contacted the head office of this bank in Toronto, and I was promptly put through to the currencies and precious metal division of the bank, because the head office here in Toronto. And basically, without even going into any detail, I basically said, can I trade in my dinars and dongs today? And the person replied, we're sorry, sir, we cannot exchange your dinars or dong at this time until we get information from Bank of America in the United States. And I said, oh, really? And only at that time will you be able to make your exchange at that time. I said to myself, this is very interesting. So I said, so this means that you are aware that the RV is occurring and that there is a global reset that's occurring for the dong. And she replied, yes, sir, we are aware. I then smiled and hung up the phone. So that was very, very interesting for as a Montrealer and as a Canadian. Other Canadians out there who are listening to this will feel elated that I had that little experience. So I thought it was vital that I share that, because I know a lot of people, some people who are, you know, holding their faith, but you always have those who are skeptics and they want to see the solid proof, the solid evidence before they can actually believe. So I think that little experience that I just shared might alleviate some of those fears, Dave. What do you think?
Oh, Blair, that's absolutely great. And, you know, that's very, very common. What we're finding is the people at the top in the headquarters, they most of them know about it. They know what's coming down. But
they do.
Some of them have basically been put under, I don't want to use the word quarantine, but they said they can't talk about it. And by the time you get down to the branch level, a lot of people don't know about it. And in some ways, I can't blame the people at the local branches, because they're getting bombarded with this stuff, and they're probably just saying, I'm tired of the headache that you're creating for me because I can't do anything about it.
I understand that, Dave, but as you had mentioned when we first talked, you know, if you don't get the respect, even prior to being a multimillionaire, you know, walk out, go to another bank.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, as far as I'm concerned, I believe that's very rude when someone's speaking to you and you're fiddling with your fingernails.
You know, and Blair, that's the way that I feel as well, is that, you know, maybe as an employee at a local branch, you may not totally believe in this, but you should be giving respect to a customer, because if they're right, they're going to be a millionaire and you want them in your bank. And if they're not giving you good service, you know what I'd do? I'd walk out the door and go find somebody who will. Find somebody who has the courtesy to say, well, I'm not certain, but I'm willing to listen, you know, and maybe understand. Because here's what I've been sharing some folks about banks. There's a big difference between what happens at corporate headquarters versus what happens at a local branch.
Understood.
The corruption in banking, most of that is at the corporate level. But when you get down to your local branch, those people are in the customer service business. And not only that, the vast majority of all those banks, the employees in that branch, they get a bonus based on the number of customers that they have and the number of dollars that those customers bring in. And if all of us that are involved in this currency reset, the vast majority of us are going to become overnight millionaires, and we're going to want to find a bank somewhere to park that money. And you want to know what? If they're smart, and if they're worth what, you know, their weight in gold of being in good customer service, they're going to roll out the red carpet for you. They're going to roll out that red carpet. They're going to treat you like royalty, and they're going to say, come on in with your dinar and dong, because I know you're going to be the overnight millionaire, and you're going to be the new millionaire customer in my branch. And I want you here, and I am going to take care of you. That's the person you want to look for. Look for somebody like that. Look for a person in the local bank who's going to treat you with respect. They're going to treat you with kindness. And when I say that they're going to roll out the red carpet and treat you like royalty, it doesn't mean that they're going to put you up on a pedestal, but they are going to treat you as a valued customer. That's what they're in the business to do. They're in the business to make money for their bank and for themselves. That's what banks do. But to do that, they want to give really good customer service. That's who you should look for.
and understand that the people at the local branch are going to be a lot different than the people at the corporate headquarters.
Oh, definitely. Just a difference from my local branch to the headquarters here in Montreal was night and day. We're talking about two directors who work for the same organization, one at the local and one at the head level here in Montreal, and yet the one at the head here in Montreal was more open. Was, you know, like, oh, when this happens, please come back and talk to me.
Sure, absolutely. You know, we had an incident here in Sedona a couple months ago. There was a lady that went into a local bank, asked about Dinar and Dong, and said, well, we don't really know. We can't really say anything about that because, you know, we're not involved. They were polite about it, but they said, we don't know. A week later, she goes in and wants to open up a trust account. And it was interesting. And all of a sudden, there was a night and day difference in just 1 week because the word had come down. And this guy said, you know, I've been opening up all these trust accounts for these people with the Dinar and Dong all week long. Come on and sit down and let me take care of you. It was a night and day difference in just 1 week because all of a sudden they were notified what's really potentially coming down. And so there's going to, you know, bankers are human beings. Some are going to be skeptics and some are going to roll out the red carpet for you. I'm looking for the red carpet because that's how I like being treated. That's common human sense.
Absolutely.
I like being treated with respect. I don't want people being arrogant toward me because they think that I took a risk, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. Dave, I want to thank you very much for having me on board again. And as before, you know you do absolutely phenomenal work. Keep it up and have a very, very good rest of the show. Namaste. Have a very good evening.
Thanks, Bill. Appreciate it. Okay, good night. And folks, while I'm on that topic of risk, before I go on to the next caller, I want to touch base on that. There are people that have emailed me and says, hey, I'm reading stuff that is, and this is a scam. You know, as a market trader, I would put this into the category of what is called speculation. Those of us who are buying Dinar and Dong, we have become speculators. Yes, we have. Okay. Is there a degree of risk? Yes, there is. But you know what? In my 17 years being around market stuff, this is one of the best risk-reward returns that I have ever, ever seen. Because the risk is so little in contrast to what the reward can be. And you can get involved in this for as little as $20 to $40 and still come out absolutely wonderful. What I suggest is whatever amount you're going to spend on this, be wise, be prudent. Don't get caught up into a much, you know, an euphoria of an excitement. Know what works for you. Be wise in how you use your money. Is there a possibility that this could not happen? Yeah, there is. But I think it's very minimal. You've heard me talk about, I think it's common sense, that the Iraqi dinar is going to revalue. Why? Because when the United Nations voted on June 27th to remove them from Chapter 6 status, they want to rebuild their country. The country of Iraq has been totally torn up bits and pieces and obliterated by war. You know, there was that great quote that came from their prime minister saying, we've got billions and billions and billions of barrels of oil to sell, but we don't even have running water. And what that means is there's large parts of their countries that the country doesn't even have running water. And for them to rebuild their country, the currency has to come back onto the international foreign exchange so that they can start bringing in services and construction projects from outside of their country, and it's not going to cost them an arm and a leg. It's in their best interest to revalue their currency. It's not, to me, it's not a question of if it's going to happen. It's only a matter of when and what the rate is going to be. That, to me, is what is going to happen to me in their currency revaluation with Iraq. Vietnam's is dependent upon, basically, the global currency reset, which I had talked about earlier in tonight's program. What's the risk? If you go into a bank and purchase Dong, your only risk is the exchange rate because you could turn right around and resell it to them. The dinar, because the dinar is not yet tradable on the foreign exchange, the risk is a little bit more. But even if all it does is revalue of what the current rate is that's posted on the foreign exchange websites, you would basically lose about half of the money that you spent. So if you spent $40 to purchase 25,000 dinar, and it revalues at the $3.50 range of where it was in 1990, well, that 25,000 dinar could turn into around 85,000 U.S. dollars for a risk of $40, but in reality, only a risk of 20 bucks. Let's get real with this, folks. This is one of the best risk-reward speculations I've ever seen in my lifetime. And there are critics out there who say it's a scam. Most of the people who call this a scam, it's because it's an issue of their fear in their own lives. People who advance agendas, people who change the world, are risk takers. When Christopher Columbus stepped out and said the world is round, when everybody around him was saying he was crazy, no, it's flat, he took a risk. All of the world changers, the people who change the world, are risk takers. You and I are having the opportunity to step into that. You and I are taking a risk. But in my estimation, it's a pretty small risk. And in this risk that we're taking, we're going to be people who are going to have an opportunity to change the world. Okay? Well, let's go on to the next caller. I'm going to go over to a gentleman by the name of John, who's from Fairfield, Iowa, and the area code 641. John, welcome to the program tonight. Are you there? Hello, John. I brought you in the air. John from Fairfield, Iowa. John, are you on the air with us? Can you hear me? Wow. Did you leave, John? Okay. John's not there. Okay, folks, what I want to do again, if you want to call in and talk with us tonight, the number is 646-716-8069. Again, that's 646-716-8069. If you have any questions, anything you would like to share, go ahead and call in. And when you get to that number, they'll basically say press 1 on touch tone phone. And what that will do, that will let the switchboard operator, my wonderful friend Penny, and she will come on the air. She will get your name, where you're from, and kind of what your question is or what it is that you want to talk about. Okay, let me go on to another topic tonight. What about ordering dong and dinar if you still want to do it, and is it too late? Well, the reason is the Vietnamese dong is a currency that is currently traded on the open foreign exchange market. And if you go into a bank, any local bank, and say, I want to purchase some dong, I want to purchase a foreign currency, you will put up one U.S. dollar and you'll get around 21,000 dong. Now that's where that's at. But be aware, and you can purchase that at a local bank, and your own fee is going to be the exchange rate, and you can probably get in the area of about a million dong for roughly 40 or 50 bucks, is what I've been told. But if you go into a local bank, be aware of the fact that they probably will not have it in stock because there's been a huge demand recently because all the people that are here starting to hear about this currency reset. And it's a currency they normally don't keep in stock because it's not a high-demand currency. Your other options are to go to the online brokers and dealers. Now, there is one that the group of us here in Sedona have used. You will pay more for that service because what you're paying for is you're paying for a currency that is basically an uncirculated currency, and the handling fee on that is a little bit more. You're paying for the shipping and handling of the dealer. You're paying for the currency itself. You're paying for the postage. and you're paying basically a small profit to the dealer. Now, there's some people out there saying that the dealers are only doing this because they're getting wealthy off it. Believe me, folks, the dealers are not getting wealthy off of it. Each transaction, all they're only making is about $5 to $10 profit after their overhead expenses of their time and paying for their employees. They're not making a lot of money on this. They don't do that at all. They would have to be doing thousands of those a day for months and months to be able to make a killing off of it. So they're not. Okay? But the rates will vary. Now, if you send me an email, I will send you the name of the broker-dealer that we use, the group of us here in Sedona have used. We've been very, very pleased with them. Is the price a little bit higher? Yeah, it is. It's paid $5 to $10 higher per $500,000 to $1 million than we get at a bank or from some of the other blog sites. I have no problem paying an extra $5 for that. I don't. We get really good service from who we use. I don't put their name and say name on the air because I want to respect that there are other really good dealers. But if you need one, send me an email. DaveSchmidt@msn.com. There were literally hundreds of you that, well, about 100 of you or more that did that last week from last week's radio program. And yes, you can still do that. The dealer that we use, you can order 24 hours a day. You can use a debit card or a credit card. A number of the dealers don't let you use debit or credit cards. You have to basically send a form of certified fund. Why? Because technically, you could order the currency, have it shipped to you, and turn around and cancel the order and get your money back and still have the currency. So the dealers that basically allow you to use a debit or a credit card, they're basically operating on your good faith that you're not going to cancel your order to get your money back. Okay, and it's an issue of respect. So that's why they charge a little bit more, because they are taking a little bit of a risk that other dealers are not. I'll give you the name of ours. You can go online. You can put an order in 24 hours a day. You will have a confirmation email within a couple of minutes, but it may take a day or two to fill that order because they're getting swamped. There's a whole lot of people that are putting in orders right now is what they're doing. So, okay. Send me an email, DaveSchmidt@msn.com, and yes, you can still order. That is with the dong. Now, the dinar, you do have purchased from an independent dealer. You cannot go into a bank and order dinar. The reason is because the dinar is not yet back on the foreign exchange as a tradable currency. The dinar, on the broker that we use, you can get, let me see if I'm remembering off the top of my head, you can get a 25,000 dinar note for about $40. But then if you step up and purchase 100,000 of those, instead of the 4 times 40, which would be $160, you actually get it for $139. So the prices vary based upon the denomination that you're ordering and the volume that you're ordering. So be aware of that when you order dinar or dong. And I want to come back and I'll say, if you purchase the dong at a bank and you change your mind, you take it back into the bank, they will give it back to you at the current exchange rate. So the only thing you're losing is the exchange fees on both ends. If you purchase the dinar, you would have to wait until it comes back onto the foreign exchange where it's basically a tradable currency again. And if it is nothing more than the rate of what it is being posted at today, and you trade it back in at that same rate, and it's about 1,162 dinar per dollar, you would lose about half your money. So if you spent $40, you'd lose about 20. That's what the risk is when you purchase dinar and dong. So, okay, folks, I want to remind you, if you want to call in, the number is 666-716-8069. Also, I appreciate all the emails that you've been sending me. I'm here to help out, to answer any of the emails that you have with the questions that you may have. We're in this together, folks. We're having the opportunity to step into this and to basically be the trailblazers, to be the forerunners who basically
want to change our world, and we have an opportunity to do that. You can follow me on my blog site, thesedonaconnection.com. And also, if you want to be on the email, I'm starting to send out newsletters about every other day now, and I'll be explaining some of these topics. I'll be answering some of your questions. I'll be taking you through this. And it won't stop when the reval takes place, because for most of us, that's when it really starts. What do I do? How do I handle this? What's going to happen? What's going to take place? So, as I mentioned last week, we're in the talking stages, but we're looking at maybe around late January, early February, of having a conference here in Sedona. And we would invite you folks to come on. We will basically bring in speakers and professionals who will help us through the process. How do you handle becoming a millionaire overnight? It's a whole new world for most of us. What are the tax implications? What do I do? Should I set up an LLC or a subchapter S corporation? We'll bring in the professionals. We'll have workshops on that. But not only that, we're just going to have a big celebration together. We're going to talk about what are some of the things in there that how you'd want to give your money away. So what are some of the projects we may want to involve ourselves in collectively that you may want to participate in? Or we'll have panels of people who can answer your questions on how do you give your money away and be responsible about it? How do you become a philanthropist? You know, most of us have never been there before. We're really new at this topic, and we would love to have some help on that. And so we'll have a conference. We're still in the talking stages about doing that, but we would like to do that. Okay. I want to talk about another topic. Some of you folks that are outside of the United States, you've been asking, is there something in my country where I can involve myself in the group rate? And I've been telling you folks, most of you, I don't know. Now, if you do go to the blog site, tntdinar.com, they do have an area that talks about for Canadians, and they do also have an area that talks about for the folks in Europe. I'm not familiar with a group rate issue taking place for you folks in those countries. And I've been telling folks, you may have to make an airplane trip here to the United States to participate in the group rate. And you know, if it's going to be 5 to 8 times higher than the street rate, I'd hop on a plane in a heartbeat. Now, what are some of the things that you need to consider? When you go through your security checkpoints at your airport, there are limitations on the amount of cash that you bring in. I can't tell you what to do on that. I can't tell you if you're going to hide it in an envelope, hide it in a sock, or who knows what, folks. I can't tell you what to do on that. That's something that you have to figure out for yourself. But another possibility is you could end up shipping it like FedEx, secured and insured, to a location in the United States, hop on the airplane, come here, and then pick it up when you get here, and then exchange it. And the question is, what do I do with this exchange? Can I open up a bank account here in the United States if you are not a U.S. citizen? Non-U.S. citizens can open U.S. bank accounts, but they're going to ask for 2 pieces of ID, and they're going to ask for your residence. You're going to have some form of an address here in the United States. If you can't do that, then all you do is have your exchange your money and put it, have them give you a cashier's check. Have them give you a cashier's check, and then you take that cashier's check to you and deposit it in your bank account in your home country. Now, that's a way that you can participate in this group rate if you will need to basically, you know, make a trip here to the United States. When you get the 800 number and you call the 800 number, now, with the instructions we're receiving is they're going to ask for a zip code because they're going to tell you what is the closest location for you to basically earn your money in. Tell them, I don't live in the United States, but I'm willing to make a trip here to the United States. What do you recommend as a good place to go?
you may just want to, you know, ask them that question. Or, on the other hand, find what your one of your favorite cities is that you'd want to fly into and go visit, and Google what is the zip code of Sedona, Arizona, or New York City, or Miami, or Los Angeles, or San Francisco. You know, what are the normal gateway countries that you'd fly here in the United States? Obviously, most of you that are going to be flying from Europe, the most common gateway city is New York City. Maybe you don't want to go to New York. Maybe you'd rather go to Atlanta or Miami, you know. That's your choice. But it's real simple. Just go on and Google what is the zip code of New York City, and you're going to find all kinds of zip codes. And use that zip code, and they'll tell you a place and set up an appointment for you. That's some of the stuff that you're going to have to go through if basically you're going to have to come to the States. I don't have an answer on that. If some of you folks have an answer, send an email, daveschmidt@msn.com, and let me know. And that's I'll pass that information on in one of my upcoming newsletters. There's another thing I want to talk about. And on the posting, they've talked about what is called, for the dong, what is called the VNN versus the VND. And in the dinar, the IQN versus the IQD. And they've been saying, it's predominantly coming from TNT Tony, when you go into the bank, tell them, I want IQN, not IQD. I'm going to tell you, folks, first of all, it doesn't lose any, you don't lose anything to say that. But personally, I don't see how the banks can do that. I think for the banks, it basically would become a huge legal issue. Picture this scenario. You are a person who doesn't speak English. You've got yourself 100,000 dinar. You walk into the bank. You go up to the teller window, and you only know one English word, exchange. What's the teller behind the counter supposed to do? Do I interpret this as IQD or IQN? Am I going to give them IQN or am I going to give them IQD? And there could be millions of dollars of difference between those two terms. Can you see how that is a lawyer's dream that they would file a lawsuit against the bank because they're hiding proprietary information that can make a difference of millions of dollars if you can say IQN versus IQD? The banks won't touch that. When you take your currency into the teller window and say, I want to exchange this, the teller is going to take it. It's going to look at it and say, oh, this is the current Iraqi dinar that is being now exchanged on the foreign exchange. And she's going to type in and say, what is the current exchange rate? And that's what she's going to give you. It's going to be based on the currency nomenclature for the currency cash that you hand them. That is a street rate exchange. If you go into a bank at a teller window, or even if they send you over to another location and you do a street rate exchange, at the street rate exchange, there isn't going to be IQN versus IQD. It's only going to be based on the currency that is currently being traded. Now, why would TNT Tony say something like that? Because there is a possibility at the group rate, there may be a difference in it. So just be aware of that. If you go in at a group rate, there might be, and then be prepared to say, I want IQN versus IQD, or I want VNN versus VND. What is the difference? I've told you, IQD is Iraqi dinar. VND is Vietnamese dong. That is the current designations for the currencies they are using in their countries. There is rumor that they may come out with a new currency, and there may only be a 30-day window to exchange the current currencies and then they're going to be revalued again, and they are going to come out with a new currency. Those are the rumors, and it's all speculation. But you know what? I'd be prepared for it. But folks, don't bank on that, thinking that that is necessarily the rule of law, because it's not the current rule of law, and it's not what the banks would currently do. But there is a difference. Probability, we don't know this for certain, on the difference between group rate and state rate. Okay, John, you're back and you're available again. John from Fairfield, Iowa. John, you're back on the air. How are you?
Yes. Thanks, Dave. I finally got reconnected. My internet was dropped for the last 20 minutes, but I realized I had the mute button on my cell phone, so I've been listening on this with the cell to you. But you're coming in pretty clear. Luckily, I have a good speaker on this phone.
Oh, good.
So anyway, Dave, I have just – So anyway, Dave, I just have two
– Can I ask you a quick question? Am I
sure.
coming across scratchy now and then? Are there some problems with it coming across scratchy? Do I get kind of groggy now and then?
It's gotten scratchy now and then, but most of the time it's come in clear enough, you know, to hear. You haven't had any more problem with my cell phone than on the internet. So even though my internet is dropped right now, so it's good.
So if I'm understanding you, when it gets scratchy, it doesn't make any difference whether it's the telephone or it's the internet. Is that correct?
Yeah, because you sound scratchy over the cell phone as well. So.
Okay, so what that tells me is it's the internet service that it's going through to reach you. It's a technical issue with the internet. It's not something that I'm doing or something that you're doing. So that's really
right,
good for me
right.
to know. I really appreciate that. Okay. So go ahead.
What's your
question?
Okay, so Dave, I have two questions here in terms of practical procedures once we get the RV notice. We get the 800 number. And you mentioned on one of your earlier blogs about having to go, instead of to the Wells Fargo bank or even branch bank, that they're going to send us to a private exchange that will have Wells Fargo employees there. And I'm just wondering what kind of place that would be you know, in terms of physical location. I mean, I'm willing to travel, even hop on a plane, you know, given, you know, the excitement of the, you know, this risk-reward ratio, this kind of deal here. But I was just wondering, you mentioned for security reasons that they may not have us go to a Wells Fargo bank, but rather to a private exchange, and then there'll be a couple representatives there from Wells Fargo Bank that would deal with us. So I guess they would be there with their paperwork ready, but this would be a different kind of building or institution. Anyway, that's one question. The second question, which is related, when we go there on a first visit, should we bring all of our IQN, or Iraqi dinar, on the first visit, or all our VNN, you know, the dong on the first visit? Because, you know, more banks will be able to exchange the dong when it's revalued. So I'm wondering, maybe even the one in my town. You know, I live in a small town here, Fairfield. But the IQN, I'd have to go to, you know, a bigger bank. So, but is it wise to bring all of it? Like if someone has, say, a million, you know, dinar, should we all do it in one trip, or should we just do a test run of, say, bring half and see how it goes, you know, with the rate and everything like that, and then come back as a second trip? Do you think that's wise? Anyway, those are my two questions.
Yeah. Now, okay, let me do this. Let me answer the questions one at a time, and then remind me again, jog my memory of the first question because I was focusing on the second one. What was your first question again?
First question has to do, you mentioned in your blog about having to go to a private exchange rather than Wells Fargo Bank for security reasons. And the exchange there would have Wells Fargo employees.
Right. Now, the reason for that, picture this scenario. I mean, I've got people emailing me telling me they've got 5 million dong, they've got 2 million dinar. I know personally know a lady that has 10 million dinar. Can you imagine what Tony wrote? That the dinar, TNT Tony, is going to be at $25. This person has got 10 million of them. You're talking a quarter of a billion dollars. Cash, currency,
that are the equivalent to bearer bonds. Now, imagine the reset or the reval gets announced, and there's 3 to 4 million people in this country that have done this. You may find yourself walking into a local branch with a line of 40 people out the door, all of them holding millions of dollars each. That is a huge, huge security risk. It wouldn't take some criminal-minded guy, you know, to hear about this, to go get 4 of his friends and then get automatic weapons and pull up to a bank with all these people lined up and say, pop their guns and say, give me your money. You know, I may be fearless, but I'm not stupid. I am not going to put myself into that scenario. I am not going to be standing in a line in a local branch with no good security, knowing that there's 30 and 40 people in front of me, and I may be standing in line for 2 to 3 hours before somebody can wait on me, and I've got millions of dollars in my hand. I'm not going there. So that's why... That's why they want to set up separate locations that has a very, very tight security in it. Mm-hmm. And you can go into a place. It's a private setting. Now, these are so. Now, this is what has been reported. Can I say it's exactly going to happen that way? I don't know. And nobody else can tell me. But it's what's being reported coming out on the blog sites. That is how they're going to handle it. And there is a point of caution in that. You need to make sure that just because you go into that location and it says Wells Fargo Bank on it, you better make darn certain that those are Wells Fargo employees. Now, here's what I do. I'll whip out my debit card of my Wells Fargo Bank account and it says, show me on your computer that my account is and that you are an actual Wells Fargo person. And I give you this currency, it's going to be deposited into my account or you're going to give me a cashier's check. So that's the other downside to make sure that where you're going is a really truly viable place.
Okay. Right.
Because it wouldn't take much for somebody to hire a bunch of, you know, what looks like security guards that aren't security guards and set up an operation, and the next thing you know, they walked out with $100 million of people's dinar and dong. And they weren't a true operation. So it's one of those things, you know, John, I don't think we're going to know it until it happens. And I can tell you what I'm going to do personally. When it happens, I'm going to take a small amount of my dinar or dong down to the bank and exchange what I call some quick operating capital money, a couple thousand dollars worth, and I'm going to sit back and watch it for 3 to 5 days before I exchange. If there's bugs to be worked out, I want somebody else doing that. I don't want to be the guinea pig. That's what I'm going to do. That's how I handle it. And, folks, it's different for everybody. Everybody needs to work that out for yourself for what you need to do. Now, John, your second question about how much to turn in. I can tell you that. I can tell you what I'm going to do. I just gave you an example of what I'm going to do. I want to make sure that everything is good to go, that I'm walking into a bank or a location, an exchange location, that I feel very confident in. And when that happens, then yes, I'm going to trade all my money in. I've got 3 different bank accounts and 2 brokerage accounts. I'm going to put the majority of my money in my bank account that I can transfer to my brokerage accounts. Most of my money is going to be sitting in my brokerage accounts, not my bank accounts. I would probably set up multiple bank accounts and not put it all in one account. I would do, if I have millions of dollars, I'm not putting it all in one account. It's just, to me, it's just kind of good, prudent practice because something could happen that you and I don't know. This is going to be somewhat of a chaotic event until the dust settles. It's going to all of a sudden go across the news and you're going to have millions of people in America who are overnight millionaires. That's my scenario, John. Tell me, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, it sounds reasonable. You know, this is a first-time thing, and I'm not even that familiar with the currency markets. You know, I've traded stocks before, even futures, and other things, but this is completely unique, this whole situation.
It's different. We've never been down this road before. And a lot of it is still based on speculation because we're trusting what the people on the blog sites are reporting to us. Now, outside of that, forget what they're reporting. And if you want to do your exchange at a street rate, it's really pretty simple. You take your currency into the bank and you say, I want to exchange this to U.S. dollars. And they're not going to give you $100,000 in cash. They're either going to give you a cashier's check or you're going to deposit it into your account, the equivalent exchange rate at the moment. It's that simple. There's nothing. When you go into the group rate, there may be a few different situations. Pretty much that's all that's taking place. You're exchanging one currency into the dollar equivalent of U.S. dollars. And you're going to put that into your bank account or you're going to get a cashier's check that you're going to take it somewhere else and put it into a bank account. And, you know, it was what I was relaying to Brian when I was talking to him. When you go into the bank, if they're not treating you like royalty and rolling out the red carpet, and if they're kind of being somewhat snobby or arrogant towards you, I'd walk out that bank and go somewhere else. You know, they want your business. They want your money in their branch. And you're going to put your money somewhere. You're not going to take it and store it underneath your mattress. You're going to put it into a bank somewhere, and you're going to put it to work, and you're going to be able to, so that you can transact your money and either buy things with it or give it away or go on a vacation. You're going to do something with that money, and it's going to have to be in the bank somewhere for it to be a part of exchange. But everybody needs to decide for themselves, and I've kind of shared what my thoughts are, what I would do for myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good, Dave. This is really helpful. This is really helpful. And just one real quick related question. On the first visit, you know, if we bring in a certain amount and we get a special group rate, we want them to be curious to us. I guess for us to be curious to them, we'd probably want to have a counter, not just have them, you know, get a cashier's check for the whole amount and us walk out the door. But if I set up an account with them, would they allow me to make, you know, transfers like wires and cashier's check to different accounts, like you said, brokerage accounts and so forth, on the first day, or to hold that money into some kind of sweep account or something the first day and have it go through procedures, and then call me back and say, okay, the account is open and ready to go, that kind of thing?
We don't know.
What do you think?
But here's what we do know. This is the normal common banking procedures today. If you take a foreign currency into a bank and exchange it at the street rate, you're going to get an immediate credit, either in a cashier's check or in your bank, because it's cash. You're trading cash for cash. Now, with the dinar and the dong, there's a lot of talk that they will have what is called a Delarue machine. This is the Delarue company. It's in Great Britain, and it is the company. It's the largest currency printing company in the world, other than the U.S. Treasury. They print currencies for literally scores of different countries, and they print their currencies up so that, you know, it's basically counterprint proof. If you take that Iraqi dinar and you look at that 25,000 note, it's extremely difficult to counterfeit. The Vietnamese dong is the same way. The dong is almost it's a plastic form of a currency. It's what it is. But because the Delarue company prints them, they also have machines that can read them in a heartbeat, and they can tell whether or not it's a counterfeit. But also the tellers are going to have probably books, pictures. They're going to be trained how to know if this is. And if that independent branch is able to decide right at the point, this is not a counterfeit, they'll give you immediate credit. Some of them say, no, we're going to wait a day or two because we need to verify this currency. I don't know how they'll do that. I would be a little bit cautious about that. It's the job to know on the spot whether or not it's good. Now, when you step into the private exchange, that may be a different story.
It may be that they're going to say, we're going to ask you to wait a day or two. We may ask you to wait a week. I don't know, on the private exchange. Remember this. You always have options. It's your choice. Nobody is forcing you to exchange anywhere that you don't want to exchange. You're the one that's in control. You're the king of your cash. And this stuff is cash.
Right.
And you're in control of it. You make sure that you're in control and you're comfortable with the transaction that's going to take place. Again, a lot of this is that we're just not going to know until it happens. And that's why, personally, I'm going to wait 3 to 5 days and let some of the dust settle. I want to see what people are reporting on their blog sites. I want to see what people are emailing to me. And I'm going to send a newsletter right out to everybody giving information about this is what's taking place and this is what's happening. The other thing is, because of what is being reported on the blog sites, there is a possibility that the tax rate on these can be different. You may want to place the dong and the dinar in separate accounts. If not in separate accounts, you at least need to be able to do a paper trail on what is the difference of those values when it comes to taxes. Because if you can't provide a paper trail of taxes, you'll end up getting taxed at the higher rate. And there is a potential that the dinar may be taxed at a less rate. We don't know this yet. I do talk about that in my Q&A article.
Yeah.
Okay?
That's good to know.
All right.
Well, thanks so much for your time, David. I really appreciate it. And keep up all the great work. You're doing a fabulous job.
My pleasure. My pleasure. That's what I get to do, and it's my pleasure to help folks out. Yeah, I really enjoy this as well. So we're all in this together, John. We're kind of going down a road where we've never been down before. There's a lot of this that's new for a lot of us. You know, I said I can kind of talk about this because I've had some good experience in a number of different fields, but a lot of it is still speculation. We just don't know, and we won't know until it happens. And everybody just needs to be aware of that. So, great.
Okay,
John,
great.
Where's Fairfield at in Iowa? I forgot.
Yeah, Fairfield's in southeast Iowa here. It's a small town, about 13,000. And like I say, the nearest Wells Fargo branch is about in the town of Ottumwa, which is about 30 miles west of here.
Mm-hmm.
And there's another branch about 60 miles north. So, but like I say, you know, given what kind of you know, favorable exchange we're getting here and the risk-reward of this whole deal, you know, I'm willing to hop on the plane and go to California if I have to.
We don't know how many exchange centers that Wells Fargo is going to have for the private group exchange. Minimally, you would go to Chicago. I mean, of course there's going to be stuff in Chicago, Minneapolis. There would probably be stuff in Des Moines, or maybe even the Tri-Cities area for you. We just don't know. That's why when you call up, you give the zip code. We don't know how many different centers we're going to set up.
Right.
We don't know. And it's still all speculation if there's even going to be a difference between the group rate and the private rate. We still don't know. My impression from TNT Tony is he's saying there isn't going to be any different rate. You can go into the bank and get $25, you know, at your local bank. We don't know. And he's saying that price will only be good for 30 days. We just don't know. We're taking his word at it. I'm not willing to take his word as gospel.
Right.
There's differing opinions.
Right, right.
We'll
better
when
be
it
conservative
happens.
And assume the street rate.
Yep. You know, I'm assuming street rate, and I'm assuming I'm going to have to pay capital gains taxes on it of 39.6. That's, you know, percent. That's what I'm assuming. That's what I'm planning on. If anything better, then it's just, you know, extra great benefit. And I got more money than I thought.
Exactly.
Here's what I'm planning on. I'm planning on that the dinar is going to be around between 340 and 360, and that the dong is going to be probably somewhere between 44 and 48 cents. And I'm planning on the fact that I'm going to have to pay 39 spent taxes on that. That's what I'm planning on. If I get it better, I get it better.
Yeah, that's good.
I don't
that's
wanna,
very good.
Yeah, and that's what I'm doing.
Realistic.
But okay. I'm researching all my options, and I'll look for something better if I can get it. And I'm going to take advantage of the current law of taxes as much as possible. I've set up my LLC and my subchapter S corporation, and I'm turning this into a business so I can take advantage of the tax advantages of there. So that way I can give more money away. Because I would rather give a lot of money away to a non-profit of my choice than give it all to Uncle Sam. Am I going to pay my fair share of taxes? Absolutely. I'm going to pay my fair share. I'm not going to try to skirt around it.
Yeah. Right.
Go ahead, yeah.
If I can just squeak in one more question. You mentioned about Subchapter S and LLC, and I saw your PowerPoint slideshow. Is it? You think it's wise to set this up before the RV or after? I mean, if we do it after, the taxman's going to know that we're probably just setting it up as a tax shelter kind of thing. You said you did it before.
That's a really good question, John. You need, well, there's differing opinions on this. Minimally, you should have started the process before you turn your money in. It's not the date that it RVs, it's the date that you exchange it and have new value in it.
Right.
And it's important, and it's not so important that you have your LLC or Subchapter S set up beforehand. It's that you have started the process. The
right.
law is going to be based on what is your intent. Let me give an illustration. Mm-hmm. Let's say you're going to set up a new small business. You don't have to wait till you get your LLC and your LLC bank account before you can start your business, because you can take part of your personal money and use that as your seed capital for the business, as long as you started the process. And in opening up an LLC is you basically started the application and you have a signed and dated application form. In some states, you can get your LLC papers in a few days. In other states, it will take you 6 to 8 weeks. But if you have a signed and dated application, and you spent money to do that, and you have a paper trail of all your expenses, then it's all a tax write-off, and you've started your business process. That's the key. The key is the date that you signed the application. And you can go online and do that tonight. In most states, you can start that process and do it online. Have all your I's dotted and T's crossed in the application process. And some of that terminology can be somewhat technical if you don't know what to do. And people say, well, why am I setting this up as a business? What is going to be my business? Your business is going to be investing your money, because you're minimally going to put your money into mutual funds or buy bonds with it. That's going to make you money. You're not going to let it set in a private bank account and only get market rate interest rates, which is less than 2%. You know, you're not going to do that. You're going to want that money to grow, and you're going to want to make money on that money, and you're going to want to educate yourself how to do that. But that is your business. Your business now is making money. For me, I'm a market trader. That's a business for me. So I get to take advantage of all the business expenses associated with that, and I don't have to pay taxes on my business expenses.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I would open up your LLC and your Subchapter S right away.
Yeah.
Is what I'd do. So,
yeah, good. So okay. I'll look into that right away, Dave. Thanks.
Okay. Great. Anything else, John?
I think that's it for tonight. Thanks again.
Okay. Thanks. Great. All right. Thanks for calling, John. Appreciate it.
Okay.
Good night.
Thanks, Dave. Bye-bye.
Yep. Folks, I hope that makes sense to you. I want to touch base on one more item about taxes. It's predominantly TNT Tony, but they're coming out, and some of them are saying, well, the tax, there's going to be a 9% tax, and Obama has implemented a 9% tax. Folks, you know, the Constitution is pretty much black and white on this issue. the president doesn't have dictatorial power to go and establish any type of a tax that he wants. The Constitution's black and white. Only Congress can do that. If there is going to be a different tax, there's only one way that that could have happened. It's because it's, and I mentioned this in that Q&A article that I wrote, it's because there is a potential that the dinar may be classified as a commodities exchange and not a currency exchange. And that is an area where the current tax law is somewhat gray. When the law is somewhat gray and they're not certain, there are times that the president can use his power to designate what it could be. And there are rumors that he negotiated an 11% tax, and that would only apply to the dinar and not the dong, because it's the oil credit issue with China. We will not be exchanging it for a currency-to-currency exchange. We will be exchanging it for an oil credit exchange, and we'll get paid for that. So it, outside of that, the law's pretty clear. And in my Q&A article, I even tell you the publication. It's IRS publication 525 on page 30 about what is a currency exchange. And what they say is that if your currency increases in value more than $200, you have to claim all your increase as a capital gain. Now, also, in the videos that I've been sending out to you folks, I tell you that there was this organization, it's called Anderson Business Services, something like that. They have professional CPAs and professional tax attorneys, and they did a webinar on what are the tax implications of this whole currency exchange. And they are quoting IRS code law that it's considered individual income. So here you've got two different people quoting IRS regulations in two different areas. One is saying that it's individual income, the other saying that it's capital gains. Yes, there are times that CPAs and tax attorneys can differ on their opinions, pulling out two different areas of tax code law or regulation that it can apply to. That is why it is extremely important that you have your own CPA or your own, basically, tax attorney when it's come down to how you're going to file your taxes. Here is what is the traditional history. If you get this only, first of all, this only becomes an issue if you're audited. That's the only time that this becomes an issue. If you are audited by the IRS, at that point in time, you need to be able to provide the paperwork that justifies the decision that you made. If you have an opinion that had come from a professional CPA or a tax attorney, and they say, this is it, and they are quoting part of the law, the IRS is going to respect that. They're even going to respect differences of opinions because they understand that sometimes there are differences of opinions. What they're going to look for is, did you use a professional? And have you got documentation on the professional's opinion? That's what they're going to look for. That's why it's important that you obtain a professional, because you're going to have the paper trail documentation of a professional opinion, even when the opinion is different, because CPAs can differ, tax attorneys can differ, just as doctors differ, and they say, get a second opinion. The issue is to have a documented opinion from a professional. That's what's most important. While I'm on that topic, what's the difference between individual income versus capital gains? Well, In the Q&A article, I talk about the two different rates on capital gains, short-term and long-term. If you've had the currency for less than a year, there is no difference. Short-term, which is less than a year, you've held it for less than a year, it's the same as individual income. And why do I say 39.6%? Because when you hit an income of over $450,000, that's the top rate, and that's what you have to pay. And the vast majority of us, this is going to put us over $450,000 is what it's going to do. So that's where you're going to end up paying. Plan on the fact that you're going to have 39.6%, plus you're going to have your state tax, and it applies differently whether it's capital gain or whether it's individual income. And also, I just discovered, and I haven't researched this yet, you may also have an additional, about 3% for this new Obamacare, the National Health Care Program for Obamacare. Plan on the fact that you're going to pay somewhere between probably 40 and 45%, in some states all the way up to 50% of this money in taxes. There are tax advantages if you basically set yourself up as a business. Oh, and I talk about that in the videos. If you want those YouTube videos, there's three short videos. They're about 17 minutes each. I broke them down, and I talk about a lot of that there. And I'll send it to you. Send me an email to daveschmidt@msn.com. Tell me you want the videos or other stuff. I'm here to help you, folks. It's what I want to do, okay? We don't have any other callers at the time. So, folks, I'm getting down, and we only got around 7 minutes left. And I basically am ready to wrap up for the night. So here's what I want to say. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We're all in this together. A lot of the stuff that is coming out of the information that we are dependent upon is what is coming out from the various Dinar blog sites. And most of this stuff at this time is speculation. We really don't know. This is a new trail, a new road we've never been down before. Do we know when it's going to happen? Well, some of them are saying it's going to be tonight. Others are saying it's going to be another couple of weeks. Some are going to say maybe another month. There's even one that's saying it may not happen till the beginning of next year. The majority of them are saying any day. But it could still be another week or two. When this happens, you have options. Your options is to take it in and get the street rate. The blog sites are reporting to us there's going to be the possibility of a private group rate. To get that private group rate, you have to be on the list. And to get on that list, you go to www.dinarrecaps.com and you sign up to be on their newsletter. That list will give you an 800 number to call to have it set up an appointment for the private group rate exchange. I really go into much more detail in my Q&A that I wrote. It's about 8 pages long. If you don't have that, send me an email or go to my blog site, thesedonaconnection.com, and there you'll see the Q&A about the currency exchange. The bottom line for all this, folks, is we need to pray. We need to be at peace. We need to be patient. Don't bug the banks, because a lot of them just don't know what's going to go on, and they don't have any more answers than what we do or any of the people on the blog sites do. We're going to know when it happens, and we are the people that have the opportunity to participate in this. And I'm saying, yeah, who wants to be a millionaire? Because that's exactly what it is. If you want to take a small risk, if you want to be someone who's going to step up and take a small risk, the reward is absolutely wonderful. Is it a risk? Yeah, there is. Is there a possibility it could not happen? Yeah, we just don't know. But when you weigh the pros and cons, the odds are pretty strong this is going to take place. It's not a question of if, it's just a matter of when. And in my opinion, the global currency reset needs to happen. And if not, we're going to probably see the whole global financial picture all around the world fall into chaos. we're having the opportunity not of a lifetime, folks, but also it's almost the opportunity of a millennium. We've never been down this road before. It's totally new for all of us. And there's a lot of stuff that's going to happen afterwards. So, I'm here to share with you. Am I a little expert on all this stuff? Nope. There's a lot of stuff I don't know. And I do emphasize, remember, it's important for you to have a professional CPA and tax attorney when it comes down to making the legal decisions and the tax laws and the implications of all of that. I'm here to just help you point you in the right direction, to help you maybe take a common sense approach on this. And when the critics come in and say you're stupid, it's a scam, why are you doing that? And say, you know what? It's what I say in my Q&A. I can waste $20 on a bad bottle of wine. Thanks, folks. Enjoyed being with you tonight. I'll talk about this next week. So this is Dave Schmidt on the Sedona Connection. Appreciate you all joining us here tonight. Love you all. Thanks a lot. Okay, bye-bye.